Welcome to Covenant's Pulpit Ministry. Covenant Evangelical Free Church believes that the Bible is the Word of God and that God's Word is vital for life-transforming Christianity. We trust that you will grow to know the Word of God and, more importantly, the God of the Word as you hear this message today. May God bless you as you open your heart to His Word.
Good morning, church. It's a joy and honor that I can share the Word of God with you this morning. So, before I start, let me share a little bit about myself. You will see quickly on the screen my picture. Okay. So this is a picture of my wife and I, Joyce. So Joyce is a Singaporean and I'm from Ipoh. So, if you know Ipoh, I'll describe Ipoh as a place of flowing kopi and good food. Yeah. So I tell Joyce that every time we go home, 3 days is just, for me, it's just a beginning. It's just an appetizer. But I have to go back because my leave is not enough. So just to entice you a little bit, so these are some pictures of my favorite food in Ipoh. So they include dim sum, yong tau fu, curry noodles, and that's just the beginning of the list. And if you are ever to visit Ipoh, I'll highly recommend go for the white coffee. Okay? It is on the top world best coffee list, so must try. And if you want some secret spot, okay, look for Cantonese restaurants. So we have a number. Those restaurants is really very good. The best restaurant, of course, is my mom's cooking. Unfortunately, it's not open. You cannot make reservation. That's only for me. Okay? So this is about myself. So, food aside, so right now we are in the second week of missions. And in missions, we are reminded that we are called as a church to reach out to the nations around us. And last week, Pastor Tony reminded us, as an unhindered disciple, we are to be bold in the mission and we are to be true to the message. And today, we are going to talk about the unhindered kingdom. And we are going to see how the kingdom of God advances by breaking down walls and it moves through our ordinary, everyday faithfulness. So the text today is taken from Acts 28, the same text that Pastor Tony has preached, but we zoom into the last three verses. Verse 28 to 31. So let's read the verses together. Therefore, let it be known to you that this salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles. They will listen. He lived there 2 whole years at his own expense and welcomed all who came to him, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. This is the word of the Lord. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that show us the unstoppable advance of your kingdom. As we open these verses, open our eyes to see where you are breaking down walls and open our hearts to live faithfully in our everyday lives, Lord. May your Spirit speak clearly to us today and may we not only hear but also obey. In Jesus' name, amen. So first, the kingdom breakdowns our walls. So we are at the end of the book of Acts, chapter 28. So Paul has just arrived in Rome as a prisoner. And one of the things that he does is he called the Jewish leaders to come together at his place and he starts explaining to them about what he's doing, what happened to him. And not only that, he spent a whole day, he actually spent from morning to evening trying to explain to them about the kingdom of God, about opening the scripture and pointing to them to Jesus. So that's what Paul be doing when he first reached Rome. And you know, how did the people respond? So some of them are interested. They lean in to listen to what Paul is saying. And some, they just walk away. Not interested. They just reject what Paul is saying. And then this is where Paul dropped this line. Therefore, let it be known to you that this salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles. They will listen. So in this one sentence, Paul is pointing to the fulfillment of everything that Jesus promised at the start of Acts. If you remember, in Acts 1:8, Jesus set the trajectory for us. He said, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And in between, from chapter 1 to chapter 28, we see how this unfolds, how the kingdom advances. And I want to point out that it's not just moving to new places. It's not just geographical. The kingdom of God is also expanding and redefining who God's people are. We see how the kingdom is reaching to not just the Jews, but the Samaritans and the Gentiles as well. And these are people that even the first disciples, they had a hard time accepting when first Jesus gave them the mission. And therefore, now when we land in the final scene of the book, in chapter 28, this is where, again, Paul made this declaration that the salvation has been sent to the Gentiles. And I want you to hear the force of Paul's word. Paul didn't say, "Oh, the message can go to the Gentiles." Not that they might listen, or that I hope they will listen. Paul says, they will listen. That's certainty. But to Paul's Jewish audience, what he said was shocking. It was unthinkable for them. Because for the Jews, there's a wall. There's a wall that they have been building over their lives, over generations. Of course, it didn't start as a wall. It started as a line. And a line that's meant to set them apart, to keep them holy as a people. But over time, these lines hardened into walls that cannot be breached. So to them, the Gentiles are unclean people. So if they eat with them, if they interact with them, they themselves will become unclean. So brick by brick, over time, this wall become taller, become higher, until their very identity is wrapped around this idea that we are God's people, they are not. But here's the thing. We do the same. Maybe for us, it's not about Jews or Gentiles, but we still draw lines. Maybe if it could be language. You know, they speak a different language. I don't understand what they are trying to say. Or perhaps it's culture. You know, they come from a different background. The things they do are so different. I just don't understand what they are trying to do. Or sometimes it's very simple. It's just appearance. Someone who looked different, someone who dressed different, and we felt that, no, I can't approach him. I don't know what to do. They are just so different. And we let these lines become our boundaries. And some of these lines are visible. It's obvious to us. Language, appearance, nationality. So these are obvious things that we can see. But there are also lines that are invisible, that we can't see, that's hidden deep within. Our fears, our pride, and also our discomfort. But these are real things that hinder us, that stop us from taking one step forward. And more importantly, these lines, they shape who we welcome into our lives. But here's the point. The kingdom of God is moving. It has not stopped. And it's reaching the people that we never imagined would be part of God's story. We have seen this in the book of Acts. And now, God is working in us to break down our walls to reach people that we may not imagine. So let me ask you, who are some people you never imagined would be part of God's story? Maybe for you, it is a neighbor that you have not spoken to. Or maybe it's a co-worker that you would rather avoid. Or maybe it's a family member that you have quietly given up on. You know, you have tried speaking to them, you have tried to share your faith, but they just don't listen. And so you have given up. Or maybe you think of the nations. You know, they're just so far away. But the good news is, as Pastor Darwin have led us to pray this morning, the nations are not far away. They are right here on our shores. Let's say after service, you go and take the MRT. When you enter into the cabin, do you know that at least one in three people in the cabin are from a different country? You know, there are Malaysians, there are Filipinos, there are Indonesians right in that cabin. There's one third of the Asian countries right there. So maybe for us, we don't need to go very far to reach the nations. In fact, right now, let me just ask, in our audience here in the sanctuary, are there any internationals among us? So if you're not Singaporean, that is you. Can you wave at me? If you're not from Singapore, so take a look around. So there are nations right at our midst, and I'm one of you. So church, maybe we don't need to buy a plane ticket to reach the nations. Maybe for us, the step that we need to take is just go and take the downtown line, right? Because the nations are right there. But here, we need to be honest. Because like those Jewish leaders, we have gotten comfortable with our own people. We are comfortable with folks who look like us, people who think like us, who speak the same lingo, you know, with the same background. So church feels very familiar. We come here Sunday after Sunday. It is a familiar place. Our friends, people that we meet with every week, or sometimes even every day, these are familiar people. They feel safe to us. And without noticing, sometimes we draw invisible lines around our life. So just let me give some examples. You know, after service, you go down to the foyer, you saw someone that looked different from you. Obviously, he is from another country. And he speaks with a little bit of accent. I can't really catch what he's trying to say. Maybe I only understand 50%. So do you walk over and introduce yourself? Or do you walk to your friends? Or maybe back home at your HDB, you are at the lift lobby waiting for the lift to come. And you saw the cleaner beside you. So do you say hello? Or do you scroll your phone? I'll confess that most of the time, I will be scrolling on my phone. So we all have our boundaries. We all have our lines. But get this, the kingdom doesn't stop at the edge of our comfort. The kingdom, it keeps moving forward. It keeps reaching the people that we never imagined would be part of God's story. And the kingdom today is calling us to break through the walls that are within us, that are hindering us from joining the kingdom's movement. So let me share with you what happens, give you a picture of what happens when those walls come down. So I want to share the story of Brother Song. That uncle is not Brother Song. He's from China, so because of sensitivity, I cannot show you his picture. But you may remember the year 2020, that's COVID year. Right? And we started Bless the Migrant Worker Ministry, where we rallied the church to come and send food to the migrant workers who are locked down in the dormitories. And many of you step out. Day after day, you deliver food to the dormitories, reaching out to them, showing love to them. And it was risky because COVID was at its peak, but you serve it anyway. And one of the fruit of that is the Chinese Worker Fellowship. So there are fellowships that's born out of this work in different places in the dormitories. So, and some of you here, you go there to serve regularly, once a month, leading the worship, the service, and also do Bible study there. And Brother Song is one of the Chinese migrant worker there. So he encountered Christ at the fellowship, and he was discipled through lessons on assurances. Some of you are familiar with the Growing in Christ series. Right? And then, earlier this year, he was sent back to China. And you know what he did? He started to take this lesson that he had learned, the five assurances, and he started to teach others in China, in his community. And he became even more creative. He started offering 10 kg of rice to anyone who completed the five lessons with him. So if any of you want 10 kg of rice today, you can go and collect from him if you completed the lessons of assurance, but you need to fly to China to get it. But think about that. You served when it was risky. And that's 5 years ago. You didn't let the world hinder you. And some of you are still serving in the fellowship today. And today, the kingdom is advancing in a community in China that most of us will never visit. That's the unhindered kingdom. So now it's your turn. So who have God placed in your life? Who has God brought near to you, but you have not really seen them? It could be the domestic worker in your home for years. Or maybe it could be the foreigner, the international students who stay next door to you, who feel lonely and have no family or relative here. Or maybe it is your colleague or your neighbor that you pass by every day, but you didn't really talk to him or her. The question is not if the kingdom is moving. It is. The question is, will you move with it? And so maybe you are thinking here, yeah, I see that, yeah, the nation is here, but what does that look like for me tomorrow? Or Tuesday, because tomorrow is Deepavali. Tuesday, when you go back to work, what does that look like? Or at school, what does that look like for you? Or even at home, what does that look like for us? And that's exactly where we are going next. Because the kingdom doesn't just advance by breaking down walls. It moves through our everyday life. And that's our second point. The kingdom moves through ordinary faithfulness. So if you are the writer of Acts, right, how would you end the book? How would you choose to end the book of Acts? So if it's me, if I'm the writer, there would be fireworks. You know, there will be dramatic miracle, there's great healing, there is a revival that's happening in Rome, and the whole city of Rome will be transformed. And maybe Paul get to stand in front of Caesar preaching to him, and we see Caesar coming to know Christ. That's how I will end the book of Acts. On a very high note, right? Because it will inspire us to go and preach the gospel more. But interestingly, Luke doesn't end it that way. Instead, it gives us this picture. Picture of Paul. He lived there 2 whole years at his own expense. And he welcomed all who came to him, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. This is the final 2 verses in the whole book of Acts. We know that Paul longed to reach Rome as a free missionary. Even before he goes to Jerusalem, Paul wrote a letter to the Romans and said that, I desire to come to you and to add to you. And that's upon his heart. But instead, Paul arrived in Rome as a prisoner. He was in a rented house, but he opened his doors to whoever walked in. So I want you to catch this picture, that Paul doesn't wait for him to get free in order to continue his ministry. He turned his home, his rented home, into his missions field. And I want to draw your attention to what Paul is doing, the action words that are here. So Paul lived there. He welcomed, he proclaimed, and he thought. So he lived. Welcome, proclaim, teach. So these actions are not big actions, but together they exemplify what mission really is. Mission is about life and the message together. It's welcome and words. It's proclamation and hospitality. I believe that Paul, because he welcomed all who comes to him, his welcome, how he treats others, give credibility to his words. And for me, I love the word welcome. When we hear about hospitality, what comes to your mind? So maybe it's a picture of hosting a dinner, or maybe inviting people to come to your home, right? And some of you may immediately think, well, this is not for me because I can't cook to save my life. And that's me, I can't cook. The best I do is I do a mean instant noodle. My favorite is the mama tom yum, and that's about it, right? So I can't serve my guests instant noodles. Or some of you think that, oh, but I don't have a space of my own. You know, I live with my parents, or I rent a room. I don't have space to host people. But hospitality isn't about having a home. It is about having a heart that makes space for people. Yes, maybe you can't invite your Indonesian friend to your home. But you can say, you know, there is a great chicken rice nearby over at Greenridge Shopping Center. I can bring you there. That's hospitality. Or maybe you're in the office, you're making your coffee at the pantry, and then you saw the cleaner clearing bin beside you. You could avoid eye contact. Or you can smile and say, hey, how's your weekend? That's hospitality. Or you are on the MRT, you saw someone lost, very blur, looking at the map, don't know where they are going. You know, you can continue to stay on your phone. Or you can come over and say that, hi, is there anything that I can help you with? And that's hospitality. See, hospitality, even an event you host, it's not first and foremost about actions. It is a posture you carry. It is a way of living that say, I see you, I bless you, I make space for you. And it helps the other to see that you are not a stranger. You belong here. You are welcome here in my space. And here's why this matters. Because that's exactly what God did for us in Jesus Christ. When we are still outsiders, he didn't wait until we clean up ourselves, we get our act together, then he invites us in. While we are still sinners, he made space for us. He welcomed us in. He called us his own. So church, when you make space for someone else today, you are reflecting the very heart of the King. And I know what some of you might be thinking. You know, to reach fellow Singaporeans is already difficult. You ask me to reach the nations, the foreigners here, that's even harder. You know, I don't know what to say. I can't even speak their language. How can I communicate with them? Or they look so different, I don't even know how to take that step to approach them. And those barriers are real. And I want to encourage us, we don't need to start big. We can start with small steps. And this is Lizelle. She's a domestic worker. So she came to Singapore many years ago when we attended IDT together. So for 3 years, every Monday evening, we'll travel to Woodlands, we memorize scripture together, and we encourage one another to persevere on in IDT so that we don't die trying. Right? But this story is really about the story of her employers. Because her employers gave her Mondays off to attend IDT. And they also let her join the Filipino Fellowship every Sunday. So they make space for Lizelle to grow in her faith. And after that, she went back to the Philippines. But this year, her employers also generously sponsored her and her husband to attend IDMC conference. And that's where we reconnect and take this picture. So today, Lizelle and her husband are making disciples in Balison, near Iloilo in the Philippines. So you see what happened. Her employees make space, and they show hospitality by giving her freedom to grow, to serve, and to flourish. And today, that fruit is multiplying overseas in the Philippines. That's ordinary faithfulness. And friends, ordinary faithfulness is enough in the hands of our extraordinary God. So church, so how do we practice this kind of faithfulness? So let me introduce to you a groundbreaking framework that will help you to know how to reach to your neighbor, to your foreign friends. And it is called BLESS. I'm sure that this is very familiar to all of you. So I'll not go through each one of them. But I want to highlight to give you some practical handles, especially when it comes to crossing culture. Because that's what hinders us when we want to reach the nations, even on our shores. So of course, begin with prayer. And as you pray, it's God brings you to the person that He wants you to reach out to. Listen to their story. And this is usually where things get real and difficult. This is when the culture difference come in. This is when the language difference come in. And let me give you some practical handles. So you can start by asking questions to find out about them. You know, ask, where are you from? Ask, what do you miss the most about home? And you know you have powerful tools in your hand that you can make use of. So when they tell you where their hometown is, pull up Google Map and then ask them to show you where their hometown is. And what's the most interesting place there? Also, one tip is keep photos of your own picture, your families, your favorite food, your favorite places in Singapore on your phone so that you can also introduce yourself to them. What if there is language barrier? Again, use tools. You can use Google Translate. Google Translate is not bad for simple phrases. You can also use AI tools like ChatGPT or DeepL. These are very good tools that can help us to translate what we are trying to communicate, even for them to communicate to us. So use tools. But better yet, the best tip is ask them to teach you. So every time I go to the Filipino Fellowship, I'll ask them, hey, I'm learning these phrases. Am I pronouncing it right? Am I saying it right? So I check with them and ask them to teach me. So start with simple things, you know. Can you teach me how to say thank you? So in Tagalog, it's salamat po. Very simple. So in Malay, it is terima kasih. In Japanese, it's arigato gozaimasu. So simple phrases. Start there, and you can slowly build it up. Because these simple acts will communicate, I see you, and I welcome you. And I also want to highlight, please do the most important thing. Please eat with them. You know, invite them to your favorite bak chor mee in Singapore. Bring them out, and introduce your food to them. Or even better, ask them to introduce their food to you. Some of their food are available in Singapore. So ask them where's the best place that they can find their country's food in Singapore. So during IDMC conference, I found out that there is a Filipino food at a kopitiam nearby, and asked them what is the best food from that store. And they told me lechon is not bad. So I went to order one plate of lechon, and it is good. So there are food available. Ask them to bring you. And some of them might even tell you, you know, the food out there are not good enough. I will cook for you. Yeah. So that's what happens in the Filipino Fellowship. They cook and we eat together. So friends, we can start small. Get to know them. Hear their stories. Eat with them. Serve them. Do practical things. And as you build up this, the opportunities will come for you to share your journey, who Jesus is to you, with them. And I believe that at that point, your welcome will have given credibility to your words. They will listen because they felt your care. So So let me share with you my story. I am not speaking to you today as one who have gotten it all, who have, you know, I do this every day. As I've shared just now, I have my barriers still. So I'm still learning, just like you. And when I was asked to lead the Filipino Fellowship 3 years ago, I had serious doubts. Firstly, obviously, I am not a Filipino. As you can tell, I don't speak Tagalog. And as you can see from the pictures, 90% of them are women. So I look at that invitation and I thought, how can I possibly lead this group of people? Who am I? What can I do? I don't even know where to begin. So I had my walls. And I remember praying, God, you know, I really don't know where to start. I don't know what I can do. And God gave me a promise in Isaiah 43:19. It says, behold, I am doing a new thing. And now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the desert. So I hold on to that promise and I go into the fellowship. And I start small. I start with prayer, of course, and with listening. So I sat down with the leaders, I eat with them, I hear their stories, and then I get to know the members. I found out where they are from. They told me they are from Iloilo, from Cebu, from Eastern Samar. Of course, I do what I shared with you. So I asked them to pull out in Google Maps, show me where these places are. And that helps me to get to know them. What they miss about home, what they dream about. And they really hope to see their children grow up and graduate and have a good job. They also hope that when they retire, they have space, there's enough for them at home. And some of them, they want to do ministry where they are from. And so here's the funny thing. I thought I'm coming in to the fellowship to teach them about Jesus, to teach them about the Bible, to teach them about spiritual things, right? But they taught me. They showed me Christ through their actions. They taught me hospitality. So today, all that I share to you about hospitality, it comes from the fellowship because they welcomed me from the first day I joined them. They feed me, they introduce me to their food, and they ask me to please try this. Yeah, and I love bingo today. So they let me experience Christ, the love of Christ, in ways that no classroom can. Because when I enter into their space, I feel love, I feel embrace, and I really feel that I'm one of them. So I thought I was the teacher, but in many ways, they discipled me. But God didn't stop there. He opened my eyes even bigger. God helped me to see that these migrant workers, these domestic workers, they are not just domestic workers or migrant workers. They are more than that. They are disciple makers. They are missionaries. Just as how we have heard from the story of Brother Song and also from Lizelle, and downstairs at the MRT display, you can read more stories. And they come from many different places that are hard to access, places that missionaries might struggle to go. But they, when we disciple them, when we help them to encounter Christ, when they go back home, they will carry the gospel with them. They can make disciples in their families and in their communities. And that is how the kingdom is advancing unhindered today, right in our midst. So church, when God called me to lead this fellowship, I had my walls. But God broke down my walls. And He showed me that ordinary faithfulness is enough. Just showing up, listening, welcoming, being present with them, that's enough when God is at work. So here's my challenge to you this Missions Month. Will you consider take one small step this week? We are very familiar with bless. So this week, will you find an opportunity to bless a migrant worker in our midst? It could be someone that's in our church. It could be someone that's in your estate. It could be even the security guard at your condo. This week, we will take one step to pray for them, to listen to them, to eat with them, to serve them, and find opportunities to share your story with them. And I want to encourage you, don't wait for the perfect moment or the perfect words. The kingdom doesn't advance because we are spectacular. The kingdom advances when we are faithful. And some of you may be thinking that, but I really don't have further friends in my circle, so what can I do? So if you are, there are opportunities here available in our church family. We have fellowships, as you have heard. We have fellowship with the Chinese, with the Bangladeshi, with Indians, with Filipino, with Indonesians. You can start there. We also have outreach points at Sungai Tengah Lodge Dormitory nearby. And you can serve there. We also have outings, and we bring our friends out for outings, especially during holiday. Like tomorrow, Deepavali, we're bringing some of the migrant workers out. And you can join us in serving them. And if you sense that God is inviting you to take this step, you can scan this QR code and let us know so that we can connect with you to take that next step. So church, again, the nations are here. The question for us is not if the kingdom is moving. The kingdom is on the move. The question is, will you move with it? The kingdom is advancing unhindered. And God is inviting us to join in the work that He's doing. So before we close, I want to give you a moment to respond. So I want to speak to two groups of people here this morning. So maybe some of you are first time here, first time you're stepping into our church, first time hearing about the gospel, about who Jesus is. So some of you maybe feel that you are outsider, you don't belong to God's kingdom yet. But here's the good news. The ultimate wall is not between the Jews or Gentiles. It was between us and God. And we couldn't break it down ourselves. So God sent Jesus to us. Jesus, He lived His life and He died on the cross to break down this wall between us and God. So when He died and then He rose, He opened the way for anyone, for everyone to come back home to God. So the gospel is this, that no one is too far from God that he cannot reach. So if you are new here and this is the first time you are listening to this and you have not prayed a prayer to receive Jesus into your life, I want to invite you, will you consider praying this prayer with me? So I'll read out this prayer once, and if you sense that you want to take up this invitation, I'll ask you to pray the second time. So let me pray this prayer for you to hear. Jesus, I need you. I believe you died for me and rose again. And I want to receive you into my life. So is there anyone here that you have not prayed this prayer before and you want to pray this prayer this morning? Will you be very brave and raise your hand so that I can pray this with you? You have not prayed this prayer before and you want to invite Jesus into your life, I want to invite you to raise your hand. And now I want to invite the second group, which are all of us here as believers. I believe that God is speaking. He has spoken. And God is stirring something in your heart. Maybe He has brought a face to your mind, a name, a person He's calling you to reach out to. Don't resist God. Don't resist the prompting. Will you take the step to move with Him? So later, as we sing Hosanna together, I want you to do this. I want to invite you to respond to God's stirring in your heart. Maybe it's a confession of my wrongs, the things that stop me from reaching out to others. Maybe it is a call to surrender my fear, to surrender my pride, my discomfort. Or maybe it is a specific person that God has been prompting me for the past weeks to talk to this person. I want to invite you to respond to Him. So release your fears, your discomfort, and ask God to break down our walls. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that Your kingdom is on the move. And we thank You that, Lord, when we are outsiders, You welcome us in through Jesus. Lord, forgive us for the walls we build. Walls of fears, walls of pride, walls of comfort. And Father, we invite You to come and break this down, break down these walls in our hearts, in our homes, in our church today, Lord. Give us the courage to move with You, to love those You have placed before us, and to join the work that, of Your kingdom. That may our life reflect the hope of the gospel, that the nations will listen, they will hear, and that Jesus, the name of Jesus, will be glorified to the ends of the earth. We pray this in Jesus' name.
Long Hosanna. Shall we rise together? I see the King.
I see the King of glory coming on the clouds with fire. The whole earth shakes. The whole earth shakes.
I see His love.
I see His love and
you'd spent some time listening to God's Word, and we hope that the message has ministered to you. You can visit us at www.cefc.org.sg for more sermon titles. God bless you in your spiritual pilgrimage ahead.